Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Amen, amen. Let's give the Lord another hand this morning. What a beautiful worship set, and so thankful for these that use their gifts for the glory of our great God. And that's really what every Sunday is about, right? The glory of our great God. And we're going to look today specifically at how God desires to use every follower, every believer in this room, to use everything that he has given us for the glory of his name, that we might find incredible joy as we live our lives for the glory of our great God, right? And we're going to lean in this morning to 1 Peter chapter number 4 in a message just titled Simply Serve Like Jesus. If you want to take your copy of God's word and turn there, if you're a guest with us, so grateful that you are here. We're so thankful just for the blessing of being able to gather and just look at the word of God. And we pray that the Spirit of God would take the word of God and it would conform the people of God to look more like him, right? To look like the image of God. And we are dependent on King Jesus in our midst to do that. I want to invite you, 1 Peter chapter number 4. I want to read verses 7 through 11, and we're going to get right in this morning. If you'll stand with me in honor of the reading of God's infallible, inerrant, and holy word. Again, we'll be reading verses 7 through 11 together, and then you'll see Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 on the screen, and I invite you to join me as we say that together. Beginning in verse 7, we read this: the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Will you pray with me? Holy God, we are so thankful that through the shed blood of Jesus, God, you've redeemed us and given us access, Lord, to the presence of the Father, Lord, that we might come boldly, God, that we might be able to present our requests, God, that we might be able to have fellowship with our great God. And Lord, we pray this morning, God, that you would remind us, your people, God, that you've gifted us for your glory. And God, help us to live our lives surrendered, obedient, and on mission for the glory of your name. And it is in that name, the strong and mighty name of Jesus, that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to give you a target statement, just kind of where we're going from the beginning. Hopefully you'll see that on the screen. But this target really is this, right? That God calls every believer to reflect his grace, rely on his strength, and rejoice in his glory as we serve faithfully for his purposes. I want to ask you a question that'll kind of help us as we walk through today. And I want you to just think as we talk for the next few minutes. When you come to church, are you more like this pot? Now, this is a flower pot. And this right here is a water jug. And so, are you more like this water jug or are you more like this flower pot? Now, this pot here is designed to hold water. We understand that. This pot, actually, it's not designed to hold it real well. Mine's got some holes in the bottom. But I designed it myself so it holds some water this morning. So this pot, right, with my help, a little bit of help, it's designed to hold water. And that's really its primary purpose, right? It catches water, it holds water, and it's really all about itself. Now, if you have a flower in there, it's gonna make it kind of grow and have all those kind of things. But what we understand, right, is this pot, right, it's not desired to be poured from. This pot is desired to capture something. Now, this pot is a little different. This pot
This pot right here is designed to catch water. It's designed to have water in it. And then this pot is a little different because this pot's made to be poured out. So we kind of fill up and then we pour out. Now, what we understand is that we have to refill sometimes, right? We got to be in those kind of moments where we come under the Word of God. That's why we say we're a daily abiding people, right? We may even gather as the body of Christ on a Sunday, and we come in, and sometimes we can have some different attitudes. We can say, hey, I'm here, and I just hope that preacher don't tell all them stories and that I get my pot filled right before I leave, right? And I want to get all that I can get because I'm going to need it to get through this week. And so I hope I get my fill. I hope the worship's like I like it. Really, when I come to church, right, if you're this person, when you come to church, everything is all about you. Now, this person says, hey, I can't do but so much, but what I can do, I'm going to do. And I'm going to come, and I'm going to encourage, and I'm going to speak, and I'm going to do. And I've been in the Word. I've been praying. I've been desiring. I've asked God, Lord, would you speak to me today, God? And would you help me be used for your glory? And they come. You might even come full, right? And you come just to pour out, right, and help others. And so you do that. And then you need to be filled up again, right? You got to take some more time, and you get in that kind of thing. So which one of these are you more like, right? And this is what I want to tell you, right? God calls us to be vessels that are filled up. And what we understand is there's an unending supply of the good grace of our great God. We're going to see it called this diverse grace, right? This grace, this multifaceted, multicolored grace, this incredible grace. And he calls you and I, followers of Jesus Christ, right, to be his vessels, ready to be poured out for the glory of his name. Now, when a church gathers and is filled with water, pots like this, right, the church can have some trouble, right? If you leave water in this long enough, it'll get stagnant. It'll start smelling. It'll start doing all kinds of things. But when we live like these water jugs, right, this is what God calls us to do. This is where we're at. And when we live like these water jugs, the church thrives. The load is shared. You know, in this series called Traveling Light, if you want to get ready for next week, read the first chapter of Exodus. We're really going to get there, and we're going to look at the freedom that only, come on, Randy, I promise, but I'm hoping, and we're going to be there a while, right? So read chapter one, get ready, but in this series, right, Traveling Light, what we understand that even as followers of Christ serving in his church, we can find ourselves weary in service, right? If we're not living out of an overflow of being filled up and poured out. And then there's also this just reality, right, that when everybody's not living as a water jug and pouring themselves out for the good of others, that some can become overloaded, some can become weary, some can be weighed down, but that's not God's design for his body. 1 Peter 4, we see in verse 10 and 11 that God's gifted every believer. Let's look at this. He's gifted every believer. And so what we're going to see in point number one is reflect God's grace through your service. So that's what we want to kind of target when we look at verse 10. And what we see in this is that each one, so look at verse 10 with me, each one has received a special gift. Now, when we look at the wording of this is a grace gift. Now, we think about things that we're good at, things that we might know, but what this passage is saying, that as followers of Jesus Christ, that every believer, when they are born again into the family of God, gifted the Spirit of God, that they receive a gift from God that's to be used for the glory of God in the people of God as they walk together in Christ. He says each one has received a special grace gift. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, if you are surrendered to Jesus Christ and been filled with his Spirit, I want you to understand that you have a grace gift. And you, what we see in this verse, right, it says that you are good stewards of the manifold grace of our great God. And that you are responsible with what you do with that gift, right? Jesus says there's going to be a day, right, where we have an account, right? We read the parable of the talents, we read the parable of the minas, and there's a day where King Jesus comes back. And where we understand, right, that he calls us to be faithful with what we've got, not to compare it to everybody else, not to try to figure out why they got more than we did, but to take what he's given us and to use it for the glory of his name. That's what you're called to do. And what we see is that when we do that, no matter if you got five, if you got two, if you got 500, right? When you use them for the glory of his name, when he comes back, there's an equal reward because it's all about his grace, right? So we're not called to do what we cannot do, but we're called, listen, to do everything that we can do. We're called to walk in the glory and grace of God because he is worthy, right? So every believer, well, listen, we've been gifted with a gift and we're to employ that gift. Some of you are managers, some of you own businesses, right? And you have employees. You have a gift and you're called to put that gift to work, right? When somebody is hired to come to your house, you got a job for them to do. And when they get there, you're employing them and you are putting them to work. You're not going to let them sit on the couch. You're not going to let them come drink the things out of your refrigerator. Now, you might give them something when they're thirsty, right? I hope you will. But listen, you're not paying them. You are employing them. This gift that God has given you, you're to steward over. And right, he's got it there and in you for a purpose. Now, some of you are saying, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. Now, Peter doesn't tell these people. Now, I'm thankful we've got a lot of spiritual gift surveys and we've got things. We've even got a class right now. Some of you are saying, hey, what in the world has God given me as a gift, right? I don't know what that is. And you can, Tom, he has all these big words and stuff that he uses. It's awesome. But he's like an English major, so he's got them. And so he's got, first you excavate, right? And so you're supposed to go in there and find it. And so he's doing that in this class. So you can jump in the Force for Good class. There's a real use survey. There's some other stuff there. Kind of identifies some of this, helps us do that. So he says you excavate it, then you initiate, right? And then you cultivate, right? You begin to develop it, right? So that's what you do. So if you don't know what to do, here's what I want to tell you. I don't know all those big words, right? But I'm going to tell you, do something and you'll figure it out, right? Right? If you'll jump in there, like, I don't know what to do, do something. Like, do something right now, right? Just say, hey, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to serve for the glory of God, right? This is what we got to do. Because whatever gift it is, here's what I want you to know about it. It's not for you. Did y'all know that? It's not for you alone. You might be blessed by it, but this gift is not for you. Anybody ever received a gift, just like a regular gift that's not for you? Anybody ever figure that out? Here's an example. Like you know, you gather with a family for Christmas and you're opening gifts and all of a sudden you get a gift. It's got your name on it. But when you open it up, it's like some deodorant. That's a gift that's for you. But it's not for you, right? You understand what I'm saying, right? This gift is for somebody else. Some of you ladies may have received a vacuum cleaner, a kitchen appliance. Hey, what we understand, right? This gift is for you, but it's not just for you, right? You're going to be using this thing, right? Maybe you've got a gift like that. But what we see, right? God is grace gifting. He's given every believer a gift to be used in the body of Christ for the glory of his name. Now, we understand that we are to steward that gift. They're not to be hoarded. They're not to be just buried somewhere. We see that clearly through the scriptures, but what I think and what I'm convinced of in my own life, how easy it is for me to put a date on down the road that I'm going to start serving Jesus. I'm going to put a little statement. Really, they're going to put a little statement on the board, but it's going to say this: I'll serve Jesus, and it's got a blank. And I want you to think about maybe what's been in your mind, because maybe you're like me. You know, there was a long time I went to church. First, I went to church and I didn't know Jesus. So I didn't want to do nothing. Like, the music was bad. Everything. I didn't like anything, right? And then all of a sudden, I came to faith in Jesus. God saved me. And all of a sudden, listen, I love to worship. I love to gather. Everything flipped upside down. I was amazing. It's crazy what like Jesus on the inside does. It's awesome. And so I'm thinking, but then all of a sudden there's like all these things. It's like, how am I going to serve? And I'm thinking, okay, I'll serve Jesus when I read the full Bible and I understand some more stuff. I'll serve Jesus when, you know, right now I'm building a house. Right now I'm working on something. There was a season in my life where I was trying to do that. I was working every day. And I'd say, you know what? When I get done with this house, I'm going to serve Jesus. And then there'd be something else. You know, I'd be like, well, the kids are little. I'm going to serve Jesus when, and you can fill in that blank. Right? But here's what I'm encouraging you to do today is to say, you know what? I'm going to be obedient to what God calls every believer to do. And I'm going to serve Jesus now. Right? I'm going to serve Jesus right now in this moment. This is who God's called me to be. He's gifted me with a gift. I don't know what it is. I'm going to do something. I'm going to figure it out. Right? Because here's the way Paul describes the church. Right? 1 Corinthians 12. He describes the church as a body. And he says, when the body, every member is not working just right, the whole body suffers. Right now, I could invite somebody to come up and help me on stage and maybe just hold my water jug, right? And they could do that. They'd come up here and they'd get it with their hands. But it would get different. It would get different quick if I said, okay, Randy, if you would, if you come up here and hold my pot for me, but you can't use your arms, you got to use your legs. And so you could imagine, should we do that? No, I'm just kidding, Randy, we won't do that. But we understand that's not going to work. And so if some of you, like you're on the way home and you understand God's purposely gifted you with all these different things for a purpose in your body, and you're on the way home and your eyes are tired. Maybe you didn't get enough sleep last night. Your eyes are just worn out. Maybe, you know, that one time when I poked my eye, like my eye didn't want to open. It was really not a moment where my eye wanted to do anything. So on the way home, your eye gets tired and the eye just talks to the ear. This is kind of the picture. I talks to the ear. I says, listen, I'm tired. You can look for stuff the rest of the way home. I'm done. Like, I've been looking the whole time. I've been looking. It's your turn to look, right? And you close your eyes. How's that going to work? Not good. I don't advise it, right? But that's what we're seeing in this. If we're not doing what God has called us to do, right? Every believer, every part of the body is designed with specific function and role. And when it's not functioning as God intends it, the body will suffer. And if you are saved, here's what you need to hear. You are called to serve. You are part of the family of God. And here's the good news. Here's the good news. Some of you are saying, hey, God's giving me some gifts. Here's why you're responsible to do it. Because not only does God give you the gifts, this is how good our God is. God gives you the gifts and then he gives you the strength to use them. Look at this text here. This first part of verse 11. I love this, right? And what we want to understand, right, is that God is going to give you the strength. So we want to rely on God. Point number two, right? We want to rely on God and his strength for your service. So we don't want to do this in our own strength, right? We want to understand that we can't do that. So we want to make sure that as we gather, right, we have this desire to be filled up so that we can be poured out. And so we pour ourselves out for the glory of God. And then we get back in the Word, right? We understand that we're living out of an overflow of those kind of things. We're relying on his strength. Verse 11, first part, whoever speaks. Now we're going to see Paul is going to split these gifts into a couple things. At first, he didn't give us this big list, right? He didn't give us all the ones that you might find in the survey, but he says, listen, whoever speaks and whoever serves. He splits these things up in that way. He says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. And whether your role involves speaking, whether your role involves physical acts of service, what I want you to hear is every bit of it matters and every bit of it is empowered by God. And it's dependent on prayer. If you rewind with me, we're not going to be able to break all these down for the sake of time, but in verse 7, we read these words, right? He says, the end of all things is near, right? So there's this urgency that's here, right? We are living, right, in these last days, right? And we have been. And what we understand is that there's an urgency about this. And because of where we're at, because of God's call and this call to be on mission for the glory of his name, there's a seriousness about that. And he says, listen, we don't need to be idle in that and just kind of going through the motions. We need to be sober. Look at the scripture. It says, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. See, we are dependent on Jesus. We are dependent on God's power. And here's what I know. Like, we've got the most gifted musicians. It is incredible what God has done in assembling the group of people that lead us and point to Jesus every Sunday. And they're smart enough and they're good enough and they can come and they can do just incredible things in their own strength. They can play all kinds of different music. We can learn things about scripture. We can learn how we might talk, how we might do. We can take classes. We can do all those things. But I want you to understand that apart from a dependence on Jesus in prayer, apart from utter and total dependence on him, we can gather and we can do church without Jesus. It can be devoid of the power of God. J.C. Ryle says it this way, Bibles read without prayer, sermons heard without prayer, engagements to marriage without prayer, travel undertaken without prayer, homes chosen without prayer, friendships formed without prayer, even the daily act of private prayer itself, hurried through or gone through without heart. These are the kind of downward steps by which many a Christian descends to a condition of spiritual paralysis and even reaches the point where God allows them to have a tremendous fall. We can't do this in our own strength. We cannot live as God has called us to live in our own strength. The reality is that it will run out fast. But we have a great God who has an unending supply of grace, and he will supply the strength that we need to serve. And so I wonder, are you trying to serve him? I hope that you are. In light of his grace, in light of his mercy, but are you trying to serve him in your own strength? Imagine trying to pour water from an empty jug. You ever done that? Like, you pull out the little milk jug and you're like hoping there's been a little in there and something. Anybody ever have somebody in their family that like drinks everything and then puts it back in the fridge? why do you do that, right? But there's nothing more disappointing, right? You open that, you like pull it out, and you're like, there's nothing in here, right? Why did you do that? Like pouring from an empty jug, right? It doesn't work. Fact is, it's impossible. But when we live in Christ, when we are filled with His Spirit, when we allow God to fill us daily as we live dependent on Him, He can use us in incredible ways for His glory. That brings us to point number three, right? We rejoice in God's glory through our service. We rejoice in God's glory through our service. Verse 11, second part, says, God supplied it all. He's given us strength to do it all. And then he says, so that in all, here's some reason behind this. He said, so that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Peter ends this verse, and it's what we would call a doxology, right? In the scripture, right, is simply this. We see the word doxology. It is a declaration of praise. And I love it, like when Paul or Peter will just break out, like they'll be in the middle of something, they'll be like, man, God is so good, right? And it's this declaration of praise. And in this moment, he is reminding them that everything that they do, that it has much greater purpose and that it is part of a greater mission that we have as followers of Jesus Christ to glorify him forever. When we serve in Jesus' name, we join in that mission. And the ultimate purpose of this service is not so that we might look good. It's not so that somehow we would have our pot filled up and that we could somehow look pretty and that we could do all those kind of things. It is not recognition for ourselves, but everything that we do is to point to Jesus Christ. Jesus would say in Matthew 5:16, he would say, let your light therefore shine before men, right? So that they might see your good works, right? The things that you do, the way that you serve. But he said, not bring glory to yourself, but to glorify your Father who is in heaven. See, this is the goal, right, of everything that we do, that God might be glorified through Jesus Christ, right? That everything we do, that it would point to him. And I wonder, right, are your actions, even the way that we serve, see, we can serve so that we can look good. Our motives, our heart, right? We can do a lot of things, but if they're with the wrong motive, like there's no fruit in that, right? Or our actions, are they bringing glory to God? Because true service, right? What God's called us to do, it points others to him. And so here's what we do, right? We gather, we fill up, we get up in the morning, right? We fill up, and then we pour out. And what we understand is that coming here on Sunday morning and sitting for an hour or whatever and hearing God's word, it's not enough, right? We are to abide in Christ. Jesus would give us this incredible picture in John 15. Abide in me, he would say. Listen, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Here's what serving Jesus looks like. It is him living his life in and through us. Listen, and fruit. You ever seen a tree just like eating its own fruit? Like you drive by and it's like, got some fruit over there. Another branch comes around. No, like this fruit is for the good of other people, right? And so we see, listen, we're going to bear much fruit and it's going to be good for those that are around us. Good for those that are with us when we leave this place. Like when we leave this place, we are sent and hopefully we're filled up so that when we go out that we could be poured out. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to fill up. We're going to abide in Christ. We're going to live in that throughout the week in his word, in prayer. Listen, we fill up, we go out and we pour out and we fill up and we go out and we pour out and we live out of an overflow of God's amazing grace, right? This is what we do. And when we do it, listen, we don't get puffed up. We rejoice in our great God through his service. And some of us, maybe we came in, we're like a flower pot. Maybe if you're honest, you're like, you know, everything about me this morning, I'm hoping all this, right? This, me. Hope they sing my favorite songs. Hope all these things go on. Nothing wrong with having, you know, great songs or favorite things or all those kind of things. But listen, our purpose is that we might fill up and pour out for the glory of his name. Some of you might be a water jug like this, but it's an empty jug. And maybe you just recognize you've been trying to serve and you've been trying to do things in the name of Jesus without the power of Jesus. Listen, I'm convinced that there are churches that are all over this world, right, that are gathering on Sunday morning with smart people trying to do smart things. And we've understood, right? We've learned how to do church We've learned how to do those things. But many times that we gather void of his power. And listen, it is only in the power of Jesus that lives are changed. The world, here's the good news of the gospel, right? And we've got to be a people that'll desire his power, that'll desire his presence more than anything else, and that will live our lives in that way. See, the power to serve like Jesus, it comes from Jesus. It is him serving through us. Because here's the truth. We know it. None of us can serve Jesus. None of us can serve like Jesus, right? In our own strength. The Bible tells us our sin has separated us from a holy God. We are left empty, unable to reflect his grace, unable to bring him glory. But God, right, in mercy and love, sent his son, Jesus, right, and Jesus served us. He gave his life on the cross. He took the punishment for our sin, and he rose from the dead. He offers forgiveness, new life, strength even to live for him and through his grace. Listen, it is by grace, through faith. Listen, it is nothing that we've done to earn it. Listen, all we've earned is hell, separation from God. It is nothing that we've done to earth, but in God's grace, listen, we have been given this gift, right? That if we believe and trust in him, that we can have eternal life, right? He died on the cross. He was placed in a barred tomb, and he rose from the grave. He took the punishment that we deserve, and he offers forgiveness. He offers new life, and he offers strength, right? He offers the Spirit of God that will help us serve through him. When we surrender to Jesus, listen, he fills us with his Spirit. He equips us with gifts. He enables us to serve. And all of it is to the glory of his great name. Not only, listen, if you've been born again into the family of God, you've been saved from some things, right? You've been saved from hell. You've been saved from yourself. But you've been saved for a purpose, to live on mission here and now, reflecting his grace to all who are around you. And I'm reminding you, verse 3, right? He said the end is near in verse 7. But verse 3, I want to just read really quickly just one thing and we're closing. But verse 7, the end is near. He's reminding him of that. First part of this chapter, he's been talking about the way they used to live. He's been talking about sin. And in verse 3, he says this, "For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries." Listen, he says, that's who you were. And that old life, that's enough of that mess. And it's time now that you walk in newness of life. You've been given a gift. You've been given God's grace and been redeemed and on mission now for the glory of his name. It's time to live for him. The end is near, and we need to live today for him. If you've never experienced his grace, today's the day. You can surrender your life to him. He's calling you to stop trying in your own strength, to turn from your sin, right? To lay down these burdens, to let him fill you with love, forgiveness, with his purpose. You can receive the gift of salvation, turning from sin, turning, trusting fully in him. Understanding that there's nothing you could do to earn it, but believing with everything you have that what Jesus did on that cross, it was for you, it was in your place, and you're going to rest in that above all things, right? This call to eternal life, this call to salvation, it's a call to surrender, right? It's a call that by faith you would trust him and no one else. Turning from sin, trusting him. If you've never trusted Jesus, if you've never called on his name, surrendering your life to him, this is a moment where you can respond. You can come forward. We're going to sing together. You can come and tell me, listen, I need Jesus. There's people that walk up here and the only words that they could say is, "I surrender." Listen, maybe you've been striving so long and you just want to come and say, "Listen, I can't do it in my own strength. I surrender. I believe." And listen, he'll forgive you. He'll fill you with his grace, his forgiveness, his love, and he'll use you for the glory of his name. I'm going to pray and we're going to sing. Lord, we're grateful, God, for so many gifts that you've given this body. Or maybe there's some that are here this morning and they're weary. Maybe they're, God, just running on empty. Lord, I pray, God, that you would fill them, God, as we sing, Lord, with, God, just supernaturally, Lord, with your grace and your
God, only you can restore. It's only your Spirit that can help us in those moments. Maybe there's some of God that are just gathered that you've been just stirring their heart, God, that they need to be difference makers for the kingdom of God, Lord, that they would use their gifts, God, for your glory. God, I pray you'd stir their hearts, God, that they might even come and just in surrender, say, God, show me what you want me to do. Maybe even a better prayer is just, God, I'll do it. Now show me what you want me to do. God, might there be some people in this room that would just say, Lord, I'm yours. Show me what you want me to do, God, and I'll do it for the glory of your name. Lord, we pray you'd have your will and way in every life. God, we pray that every voice, God, would sing. God, that we would lift high your name, Lord, and that we would bring you great glory because you alone are worthy. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand with me in these moments?